Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hold it. Don't nobody move. Before we start the show, let's talk about our Patreon page at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. You know the drill. The Bob Seska Show is almost entirely fueled by our Patreon subscribers, and we couldn't do 4+ shows a week without your generous financial support. If you dig what you hear today, please consider signing up for our Shadow Docket bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday for just $5 per month. It used to be called the Postmortem Show, but with the support of our existing subscribers, we changed the name to The Shadow Docket. I guess not a lot of Latin fans out there. Same show, same exclusive content, but an all new name. Again, that's $5 per month at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Here goes nothing. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, September 14, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Okay, that music's too loud. Day 236 of the Biden-Harris administration, 420 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go, the worst Twitter handle in the world. All right, hey, look, I heard him laughing. Here comes Buzz.
Yeah. You say Buzz.
You've said it all.
Hi.
You kids turn down that music.
I know. Like, why can't I hear myself talk? Okay.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz. And we don't like the microchips, but we don't mind the swelling.
There's your crowd pleaser for the week. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, man. And we need it because it's been another tough week. Yeah. Saturday, of course, on the solemn anniversary of 9/11, Donald Trump was ringside emceeing a boxing match.
Oh, Jesus.
Pearl Harbor Day, it's the grand opening of a used car lot. So
just a matter of time. Yeah.
Just keep coming. A visibly drunk Rudy Giuliani
yeah,
was paid to speak at a 9/11 event over the weekend. Uh-huh. The sober Rudy is no longer available.
He's always visibly drunk, though. That's his secret, you know.
You can't afford it, and how can you tell the difference? West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, speaking of names in the news, Joe Manchin has been accused of selling out to Big Oil and Big Pharma, which just goes to show you that if you make a lot of money, someday you'll be able to buy a mansion. Today's the last day. Vote like there's no tomorrow because there isn't. Today's the last day of voting in the California recall election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I understand the ballot, voters are being asked whether they want to keep Newsom or elect a bear with rabies.
I'm hoping the bear with rabies has a bad day.
We all do. Yeah. President Joe Big Balls Biden issued that vaccine mandate, and now Dr. Fauci is pushing for a vaccine mandate for air travelers.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great. Red state Democrats could fly somewhere safe.
Thank God. Thank God someone's thinking of them for a change, right?
Get me out of here. And after much pressure from listeners and much debate, the National Podcasters Association has finally issued a pants mandate.
The Bob Seska Show. In my town, there were these guys who wouldn't take a free vaccine. And they told a lot of lies when the school board would come to meet. So we failed with our homespun remedies made for Holsteins. And we live in the fourth wave of a Delta quarantine. We all live in a Delta quarantine. Delta quarantine. Delta quarantine. We all live in a Delta quarantine.
I do.
Delta quarantine. Delta quarantine. We all Delta quarantine, Delta quarantine.
Delta yeah.
Today's earworm, courtesy of Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky_Mountain_Mike on Instagram. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, you know what? I consider myself in a quarantine, even though I've never had COVID. But, I mean, the Delta quarantine continues here in this household. Thank God.
Oh, sure. And in this house as well, and, yeah. And hopefully a lot of others. Of course, the wrong people are staying home.
Yeah, right.
And that's, I think, the big issue of the day is that the people who aren't taking measures are the ones who should be locked at home, not the rest of us who've played by the rules, who've recognized our role in the community and gotten vaccinated and wear masks and avoid crowds.
That's right. I don't have COVID, and I've never had COVID because I've been a responsible grown-up.
I am not now, nor have I ever had COVID.
But what I do have right now, I'm just recovering. It just happened last hour, right before we started the show. I was having an ocular migraine, which is something I get occasionally, where it's not like a painful migraine. What happens is I'll be looking at something and then I'll start to see like a little dot, like a little multicolored dot in my field of vision that slowly over the course of 20 minutes gets larger and larger until it fills up my vision and then goes past my head and then disappears.
Bob, I warned you about microdosing.
I know. It's the betadine. I've been chugging the betadine these days. But as I said, it doesn't cause any pain, but now I feel just a little bit woozy. I don't know if woozy is a technical term or is that
medication?
Yeah.
You know, anything? Do you take it? Do you have food on your stomach?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, God damn it. I eat the same thing every day, which is why this is so random and inexplicable. Yeah. It just is something that happens. The first time it ever happened, I was in sixth grade. And ever since then, maybe once every couple of months, I get one of these ocular migraines. And it's really annoying just because I can't see anything for a short period of time. I mean, I can see, but it's obstructed with this, whatever it is. It's like, I imagine this is what an acid trip kind of looks like, but a really crappy, crappy, uncomfortable acid trip.
Bad trip, man.
Yeah. Why can't it be fun? Why can't I just have fun with my visual hallucinations? Damn it. Okay, but you mentioned before we started the show that we have some breaking news here about General Milley, and
we also have a breaking sneeze. Hang on.
Oh, okay. Buzz is going to sneeze.
You may want to edit this out, or okay. It subsided.
Did it crawl back up?
It did.
Yeah. I was going to.
You said it all.
I just felt like I needed to jingle in the sneeze.
We had a friend, an adult female, who had the tiniest sneeze you've ever heard in your life. It was like Cindy Lou Who. Kind of like, chew. It's like, no, come on, damn it. You can do better than that.
Yeah,
you know? That's not going to do any good. You know?
Yeah, I was going out with this girl in college who used to sneeze. She used to go, achoo. And I was just like, what? That's fake. You're not really doing that. Yeah, that's a cartoon. You're doing a bit. Why are you doing a bit? Just sneeze for real.
But now, now on to the real breaking news.
Yes, the real breaking news, yeah.
And here's why this is important to get this in, is because it's the very fear you expressed. Your greatest fear, I think, during the Trump presidency was he's going to push the button.
Yeah.
He's going to push the button that's bigger than Kim Jong-un's button.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of nasty talk about China. In a new book by Bob Woodward, he talks to General Mark Milley, who informs him that he had to twice reassure his counterpart in China, Milley's counterpart in China, that Trump would not launch a nuclear strike to stay in power.
Oh, Jesus.
He took secret action to limit Trump's ability to order a nuclear strike.
Yeah, not surprising at all. I mean, he would have launched a nuclear attack or some sort of nuclear test. I mean, I was imagining the most likely scenario would have been Donald Trump doing some sort of nuclear test in the Pacific or something like that, just Milley to swing his balls around.
Milley was afraid he'd do the real thing to assure his reelection. You know, it's a little irritating how often you're right about these things, Bob. I have to tell you.
I wish I were wrong about these things. I swear to God.
But, you know, I try to tell myself, no, he's just panicking. But so often, and in here again, you're right.
And he's always been curious about, as he said, the nuclear. I mean, even though he was asked by Hugh Hewitt during one of the Republican debates in 2016, or I think it was maybe in 2015 still, one of those many debates where they had to do two different stages to accommodate all the Republicans. Hugh Hewitt asked him about the nuclear triad. He had no idea what the nuclear triad was.
Of course not.
But he said...
Hugh or Trump?
I think Hugh Hewitt knew, but I don't think Donald Trump was at all aware.
Sometimes I wonder about Hugh.
Yeah, but then he was so... He even said he was kind of curious about the power of nuclear weapons. And so I think with that kind of power... I mean, basically, Donald Trump was a chimp with a machine gun. And we all knew this. I mean, this is something that we all recognize, certainly once he was inaugurated and started doing crazy shit. But anyone who watched the campaign or anyone who knew about Donald Trump prior to that knew he was a monkey with a machine gun. You do not give this kind of power to someone like Donald Trump.
With great power comes great madness. He calls it the nuclear because he doesn't want to use the word bomb. In his mind, it washes his hands of it. He doesn't have to touch it if he doesn't use the word bomb.
Yeah. So, well, good. I'm glad we were able to at least avoid that outcome. But, you know, always, I wish these guys, General Milley, some of the other insiders who were tasked with stopping him from pursuing his worst instincts, had made this more clear during the actual administration rather than after the fact. It seems kind of cowardly to me. I mean,
there'll be critics who say, well, why didn't Bob Woodward tell us about this sooner? And, you know, I don't even get into that because we don't know the timeline of who found out what when.
Oh, sure.
I don't have an answer for you on why we didn't know sooner, but I think the important thing, at least, it didn't happen, A, thanks to Milley, apparently, and B, we know now. And knowing these things helps us ask other questions that help us get other answers.
Yeah, I mean, knowing Bob Woodward and the kind of journalism professional that he is, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt to think that maybe he took some time with this in order to confirm the story, maybe finding other sources to corroborate some of the things he heard from General Milley. I don't know. Maybe that's what he did with the COVID stuff, too, last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I've gotten into Twitter debates about the COVID stuff and about Bob Woodward. And, you know, why did he sit on this? Why didn't he tell us sooner? Why isn't he doing his job as a journalist? And I tried to explain to some people, well, first of all, he is no longer a working journalist. He's an author.
Mm-hmm.
And although he is employed by The Washington Post, it's really an honorarium at this point. It isn't like he goes to work every day there, not at his age. I don't know. You know, I don't know what the answer is to that. But I think if you're beating up on Bob Woodward, you're probably beating up on the wrong guy.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile, George W. Bush was beating up on Donald Trump and Donald Trump's fanboys. And on also, in response to that, Trump beat up on George W. Bush. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later on.
That's how the playground works.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's no wonder the Red Hats are indiscriminately losing their schmidoinkle because they're being yanked in so many different directions. They're being yanked in multiple directions by Trump alone. Just the whiplash from, well, we're doing this now, but now we're not doing this. We're going to, oh, yes, we're getting out of forever wars. We're going to pull out of Afghanistan forever and ever and ever, and we're going to end this goddamn war. And then suddenly Joe Biden does it, and they're like, why are we ending this war? So no wonder. They're totally losing their minds out there. Steam shooting out of their ears like Uncle Fester, for God's sake. Because they're it's the constant, constant whiplash, right? And of course, the one of the things that they're losing their minds over right now are Joe Biden's vaccine mandate, his non-vaccine mandate mandate.
Non-mandate mandate, yes.
The non-mandate mandate. And the crazy thing about this is, as we've been suggesting here with our clever names, it's not really a vaccine mandate. If you can get tested once a week, you don't have to get the goddamn vaccine. So stop pooping in your diaper, please. Thank you so much.
Here's the fun part. Many employers are passing the cost of those weekly tests onto their employees, costing them thousands, costing the employees thousands of dollars a year. In a way, it kind of is a mandate. And you know what? God bless him for it. You know, this is exactly the kind of, and I texted you as he was giving that speech, and I sat there with my jaw open, not having seen the likes of such leadership in my lifetime. Maybe not since John F. Kennedy have I seen somebody take control and say, okay, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And man, that was refreshing and reassuring. And as I texted to you, he's not fucking around, and he's not. This is deadly serious, and I couldn't be happier about the stance he's taken. So call it a mandate, don't call it a mandate. Effectively, it's the same thing, and by God, it's working.
Well, those of us who know about shit that went down prior to the Joe Biden presidency understand that this is entirely normal. I mean, we have mandates for all kinds of things, whether it's a mandate that says you have to stay in one lane on the highway. We have to have lane markers. We have to wear seat belts. If you want to be in the military, you have to get vaccinated, and you always have had to get vaccinated. Even the goddamn Confederate Army during the Civil War had mandatory smallpox vaccines. Now, that didn't mean that everyone got them. I'm just saying that there were regulations in the Confederate Army that you had to get a vaccine for smallpox. And the same with the Union Army, of course. And this is something that it goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War, where there were inoculations, required inoculations for smallpox, handed down by George Washington. So
I'm not praising Joe Biden for doing what is and was normal.
Oh, yeah.
I'm praising him for proving that it is normal. I'm praising him for breaking through the madness.
Yes, exactly.
For crashing through the madness.
Yes, and I completely agree with you. And here's why. There's a political side to this. It's so refreshing for a Democratic leader to go, hey, you know what? We're going to do this, and fuck you if you don't want to do it. And basically, aiming it directly at, just exactly what you said, Buzz, aiming it directly at guys like Jake Tapper, who said, you know what? Right. We're not going to walk on eggshells around these bastards anymore. We're going to do the right thing, and it's going to stick, and that's it. That's final. No more discussion. Thank you.
So while what Joe Biden did may have been ordinary, these days it's extraordinary for someone to do something ordinary.
Right. Yeah.
The madness has stopped, and the sensibility has kicked in.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we needed. We can no longer, and I don't know why we ever did, but we can no longer dance around these idiots. They are restricting our freedom. They're restricting our ability to do what we want to do, despite the fact that we have been the only grown-ups in the room. We have done the right thing when it comes to masking, distancing, getting the vaccine, making sure we're isolated, especially during those big peaks in the past year and a half. And so why should we be the ones who have to further sacrifice because of their irresponsibility? I mean, there is one side in this that is empirically correct, that is objectively doing the right thing, and that is the side of responsibility. There is no debate over this. There is one thing. The sky is blue. There's no other, you know, counterpoint to that.
I got we received a text from a relative this week.
Yeah.
We're not going to be getting together with. And the fact that this relative is not vaccinated is the primary reason.
Yeah.
And they texted, we all have different ideas and thoughts and need to make the best decisions based on them. And here, okay. I have not replied, but here's what I would say if I could.
Yeah.
The best decisions are made based on facts, not ideas and thoughts. Fuck your thoughts. Fuck your feelings. Face facts. The best decisions are made based on facts, not ideas and thoughts. It's we all have different ideas and thoughts, so we'll make our best decisions based on them. God. No, that's not how you make a best decision.
Yeah, that's a great way to say, I'm making an excellent decision by not doing the responsible thing.
Right. And there's still an awful lot of that out there. And and also, on the subject of Biden not screwing around anymore, I think we're about to see the same thing on voting rights.
I hope so.
And the filibuster.
Yeah,
I think Biden has come around on that point, and I must have said, it must be 3 months ago now. It feels like 3 months ago I said on this show that at some point Biden will have Joe Manchin up to the White House and have a little sit down chat with him.
Mm-hmm.
We are there.
Yeah,
we are there. And if you don't think Biden has levers he can pull that affect Joe Manchin, think again. Biden just didn't fall off the turnip truck. I think he knows what he's doing here, and I think. You know, he's been patient. It's like with the vaccine and everything else. He's been patient. He's been as patient as he could afford to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, you just have to put your foot down and make it happen. Well, I think we're clearly at that point with vaccines. Mm-hmm. And I think we're about to see that with voting rights and the filibuster as well.
Well, that's what I keep going back to the Civil War. It's strange that we're doing that a lot these days.
A lot of tie-ins.
Yeah, absolutely. But Abraham Lincoln originally called for volunteers to be mustered from the various states that remained in the Union right at the beginning of the Civil War. And then eventually he was like, you know what? Screw this shit. I'm doing a draft. And that's exactly what he did. And that, of course, manifested all kinds of protests, as was sort of what we're seeing right now is certain people. But the fact of the matter is, Lincoln just decided, hey, you know what? I'm done screwing around. I'm done asking nicely. You had a chance to do this voluntarily and to do it with dignity, but now I'm going to make you. And so that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly what Joe Biden's doing right now with the vaccines. It's great.
Since you brought up the Civil War, I hope you don't mind if I insert Buzz's bookmarks here.
Oh, yes. Let's do Buzz's bookmarks.
We'll begin with this one.
Okay.
My dearest Martha, our war with the vaccine goes poorly. Yesterday, all of the men's balls swelled like a summer tide on the shores of our beloved Hilton Island. If the affliction continues, sitting shall become most impossible and our cavalry useless. All my love, Silas. That's okay. from Twitter guy Gary Legum. And while we're here, this is from, and I'm going to screw up his name, Andrew Anastasovsky. I believe that's correct.
Now, is this another is this another one in letter form? Is this in letter form?
No, this is a little poem.
Okay.
It goes, when you're standing in your suit and you make an oily poop, ivermectin. when your friends are all choking and your pant leg is soaking, ivermectin. And that's from Andrew Anastasovsky.
Thank you. Any opportunity to play fart sounds is always welcome to me.
There you go. I thought you would. Those are Buzz's bookmarks for the week.
Yeah.
But you were talking about the Civil War and vaccinations, and so I had to get to that letter to my dearest Martha.
Yeah. You know what? We didn't plan this beforehand, so I didn't realize that I had music for it. I could have played.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I could have played this as you were reading your.
Let's do it again. Do it again. Okay. No. We'll do it again in the postmortem show, only with music.
Okay, fair enough. We'll do that. Okay. And by the way, no longer called the postmortem show.
It's officially changed.
It's now going to be the Shadow Docket. That's going to be our bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday that we do. It used to be called the postmortem show. I think this is much better, the Shadow Docket.
The Shadow Docket.
Yes, indeed. And by the way, I haven't finished producing your liners for it.
Oh,
so,
that's fine.
Yeah, so
that's
that'll come later.
I'll do it live.
Yes, I love doing the slow rollout. Okay, so meantime, the anti-vaxxers are taking Betadine. Now.
Yes, that's the latest.
Yeah, and this is something that you should not be taking. It's a form of iodine. It's providone iodine. It's often sold under the brand name Betadine. It's an iodine-based treatment largely for topical use that kills bacteria.
Right.
If they're going to cut open...
Yeah, if they're going to cut open your belly, they paint your belly with Betadine, and then they cut.
Yeah.
And that makes sure, you know, avoids infection. It's not to be taken internally.
Exactly. Commonly used in ERs and ORs. When told that anti-vaxxers had taken to gargling Betadine, this one doctor they spoke with at Rolling Stone said, "Fuck me, of course they are."
Quoting one doctor.
I want that doctor. I want to hire Kenneth Weinberg, an emergency room physician in New York City, just because of that line. Fuck me, of course they are. Betadine is mostly intended for external use, as it can result in iodine poisoning if taken orally, says Dr. Jennifer Gunter, who didn't say fuck me, but she's still cool anyway.
That would be a shame if we lost another anti-vaxxer.
I know. Wouldn't that be a shame? But on social media, people are promoting it as a means of warding off COVID-19, either by gargling it or using it as a nasal spray. You know, I was wondering... Eventually, they're going to get around to the actual vaccine.
They're bound to run out of substances at some point.
Yeah, exactly. If they're going through the list of pharmaceuticals and things over the counter, prescription, whatever, eventually they're going to land on it. Like, oh my God, are you serious? Pfizer has a vaccine for this? I had no idea. Okay, let's try that. It's the last thing on the list, so we might as well go do that.
Wait till I hear about the Drano enema.
Dare to dream, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be fun. I hope they do that one. And I hope Alex Jones and Joe Rogan start that one off, because I want to hear about that on the Alex Jones show.
You know you'll hear about it.
Yeah, I want to see Alex Jones do the Drano enema live on his show. All right, now put the tube in. We're gonna stick the tube in there. And
maybe Nicki Minaj's cousin's friend will try.
By the way, coming up here in a few seconds, we have this week's edition of Corpse of the Week. So stand by for that. We've got more dead shirkers just around the corner. Yeah. So this is their latest gimmick, their latest snake oil. They're looking for some sort of miracle cure, but there already is a miracle cure. There is
something they could buy at the checkout at 7-Eleven. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing, though. The vaccine mandates are already working.
Yeah.
You look at the airlines, for example, and the number of employees who hadn't been vaccinated, now that there's a mandate that they either get vaccinated or give up $200 of their salary every week for a year to pay for the weekly testing.
Yeah.
Guess what? Nobody's quit. Everybody, at least half of them, of the unvaccinated among airline employees have now gotten vaccinated.
Yeah.
It's working. It's working everywhere. You're going to see the vaccination numbers jump dramatically over the next few weeks, and that's exactly what we need. Joe Biden gave it the push we needed. He told Trumpsters they can't have their pudding if they don't eat their meat.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you, Pink Floyd. And the other thing is that what I'm hopeful for, and the more I think about this, the more I think it could be a possibility. Now, granted, I've been saying for a while now that we could be on the verge of another major wintertime spike. However, there is a counterpoint to that, and it's coming from epidemiologists who say we may hit an inflection point next month where cases actually end up going down and staying down because of the rate of vaccinations.
If the variants aren't a problem, if the other variants aren't a problem, and I don't think they will be, and I don't think virologists think they will be either, but this is what I was saying last week. In spite of all the bad news, deaths were up, and they're not now. They're actually trending downward now. Deaths were up, but childhood infections and deaths and hospitalizations were up. There were a lot of bad numbers out there, and infections themselves were up. But then infections started to go down again, and this is a pattern we've seen before. We've certainly seen it in other countries that have had this Delta wave. It lasted about 2 months. It went up, it went back down again. And the fact that we're getting vaccinated and that some of us still wear masks helps immensely. And that some of us are still avoiding crowds, this all helps immensely. But I do think there is a light at the end of this tunnel, as I said last week. And now you're hearing more experts back that up, which pleases me.
Yeah. Well, one of the many downsides that we're facing right now is the fact that, for example, this New York hospital is unable to deliver babies due to the staff walkouts over the vaccine mandate for the hospital. That's insane. These are medical professionals who are like, just screw this vaccine. I don't know, vaccine. I mean, it's going to, I don't know what this is going to do to me. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, half a dozen workers. I don't know if it was like half the unit or whatever, but at least half a dozen workers in that unit didn't want to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so they're off the job. And now they're too shorthanded. They still have some people who are vaccinated, but not enough to run a maternity ward. So that's temporarily closed. I, too, have temporarily stopped delivering babies. For a different reason.
I had no idea that was your side hustle.
Oh, sure. Many. I have many side hustles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I kept thinking when I was reading this story, I kept thinking about the old George Carlin bit where he talked about the worst doctor in the country. Somewhere there is a doctor who graduated last in his class and is absolutely the worst doctor in the country. Mm-hmm. And he's about to see a patient right now. And now there's a particular tragedy about that joke because we're obviously this is a case where maybe these are the worst doctors, these nurses, medical professionals of any sort who are like, hey, you know what, this vaccine, I would rather endanger my patients.
I think we're also weeding out bad cops this way for the cops who refuse to get vaccinated. This might be a purge we needed. Yeah. So in some ways, that's very encouraging.
Right, right. Suddenly we've got doctors in New York going, hey, that Hippocrates guy, screw him.
Yeah, right.
Who needs the Hippocratic Oath?
It's a very old joke, but it's what do they call the guy who scores lowest in medical school?
Yeah.
Doctor.
Exactly right. That's, again, an extension of that George Carlin joke. Holy shit.
Right, right, right.
Okay, we're going to come back here in a second with Corpse of the Week, particularly sad edition of it. I don't mean to revel in the deaths of others, but
no,
I'm about to revel in the deaths of others. So,
okay.
All right, back with more show right after these words.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
To a feeling that I'm not feeling no more. I was feeling it before. I have grown and all of these mysteries I sought and all of these remedies I've sought to make me feel better. But I don't feel better when you're not around.
Yeah, it's the great Alexia Chombi. We've been playing her music since the very beginning, since we started playing indie music here on the show. This is a brand new single called If I Could Choose from her I Blossom While I Cry EP.
Wow.
AlexiaChombi.com. Link in the description to support Alexia. We love this music. She's a great, oh my God, one of the best singers we play here in the show. Singer-songwriters, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. BobSeska.com/music to support all of the indie bands and to submit your music to the show. So thank you for doing that. I forgot to mention, today's California Recall Day. Yeah, that's happening right now as we speak.
Yeah, and I mentioned the monologue.
There you go.
Remember, it was a rabid bear, I think is the choice.
Wait, you did a monologue? I forget. No, I'm joking.
You couldn't see it for the swirling, colorful light.
That's awesome. It is California Recall Day. And of course, as always, you know the drill. You have to vote no.
No!
Yeah, no.
9999999999999.
Oh man, no. Remember this. Remember Patrick Stewart shouting
no.
And then breaking something very loudly, which goes great with a migraine.
It was close. It was scary because when we were worried a month ago and people were posting things like don't Florida my California.
Oh, yeah.
But a month ago, Newsom only had like a 5-point lead. Mm-hmm. He now, if you average the polls, has a 14-point lead. And if you calculate in past polling errors, I'm going to call Newsom by 10.
Yeah.
I'm going to call no by 10 in that election.
Well, that's because the election is clearly rigged, don't you know?
Well, of course. Yeah, well, that was decided before the election was held. I told you, yeah. And here again, you know, now I'm starting to pick up yours, you know, your ability to predict the future. And that is that, I predicted, I said, this is going to be the MO in every election from school board to presidency over the next 8 years. This is the way, this is their MO now.
Mm-hmm, exactly, because it's a great way to delegitimize the people you don't like in politics. And that's exactly why this is a thing. I mean, it started as Donald Trump and his teeny tiny ego being defeated in last year's election. And now it's being franchised out elsewhere. So anytime a Democrat wins, it's clearly because of voter fraud or voter fraud, which does not exist, by the way.
I'm becoming the Nostradamus you are, and that this one I called, and that was this is it.
Yeah.
This is their method to even, and in this case, and you're referring to Larry Elder's website where there's a page you can go to from his website where they will tell you. Even though the election is not over yet, as this program is recorded, they already had a page up saying the election was stolen, it was rigged, and that's the MO. And you're hearing, you know, Republicans are now announcing that the election was rigged on the same day they announced their candidacy. It's really that's just how they're going to roll.
Yeah.
And the democracy cannot function with that dialogue out there.
Well, I think the best counterpoint to all of this continues to be to just laugh and point whenever you see these guys either cast doubt upon an election or anything else, whether it's the anti-vaxxer shit, some of these corpses of the week, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. The best thing to do is to walk by them and just laugh and point. There is no getting through to them. There is no legitimizing them. They have to be marginalized. This is the best way to do it.
And maybe second most important to voting, running for office, being politically active and defeating their asses.
That's true.
Crushing them. We can't, again, or keep repeating, we can't just beat them. We have to crush them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that I think that includes, to an extent, making sure that we're still aware that they're there. And that goes back to something that I've been pushing for quite some time now. But at the same time, we can acknowledge that they're there, and we can be schooled in terms of what they're thinking on a regular basis. It's important to know what to...
Absolutely.
Certainly
absolutely.
When it comes to the political leadership on the Red Hat side. But the fact of the matter is that... the only way we should at all communicate with them is to just laugh at them, laugh in their faces at their nonsense.
How to respond to them, and at least in terms of words, but we need more action too. And so I'm not against words, but I'm very much for action.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's some action. Let's do Corpse of the Week. First of all, we'll start with Veronica Walski. She was this woman who did an anti-mask viral video where she went into a grocery store. She's apparently some sort of influencer on Instagram, too. But she went into a grocery store where they require masks, and instead of an actual mask, she was wearing, like, a Zorro mask, or, like, for those of us who follow DC Comics, like Robin, but Batman and Robin. She was wearing, like, one of those kind of masks. Yeah. And then when, of course, the employees were saying, oh, you have to wear a mask, ma'am, and she's like, I am wearing a mask. Look, ha, 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 isn't that funny? I'm wearing a different kind of mask. See, I'm just going to fool you. I'm doing a bit for Instagram. And, of course, she demanded to see the manager, the usual song and dance. Well, now Veronica Walski, whose anti-mask video went viral, dies of COVID.
Sad.
So sad. And we have special music for this next one. This is our sad in memoriam music.
Yes.
And this is for talk show host Bob Enyart. I guess that's how you pronounce his last name.
Yes, uh-huh.
Bob Enyart, he's a talk show host who trolled AIDS victims, has died of COVID.
Sad.
Oh, my.
Sad Dixie. Oh, my God. Yeah, over the course of the pandemic, Enyart said he and his wife refused to get vaccinated, falsely claiming on his website that the vaccines were tested, quote, on the cells of aborted babies. That is incorrect.
That is incorrect.
Enyart also waged legal battles against mask mandates and social distancing guidelines while downplaying the seriousness of the pandemic. The Denver Post notes that before the pandemic, Enyart was known as an anti-abortion activist and provocateur. Her used to have a bit on his old TV show. Jesus Christ, this guy had a TV show. Where he'd mock people who died of AIDS by reading out their names while Queen's Another One Bites the Dust played in the background.
Oh, brother.
So go fuck yourself, Bob Enyart. He is now died of COVID.
He won't be missed. He is at least the fifth conservative talk show host we know of who was anti-mask, anti-vax, who has died of COVID-19. As comedian Frank Conniff posted this morning on Twitter, I am the morning DJ at WDOA.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, meantime, the United States, I don't know why I said it that way, the United States ranks last among the world's seven wealthiest democracies in COVID-19 vaccination rates. Mm-hmm. About 62% of Americans have received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine. Canada leads the G7 countries in vaccination rates with almost 75% of its population at least partially vaccinated, followed by France, Italy, UK, Germany, and Japan. Japan with 63%. The U.S. ranks sixth out of the group of seven nations, however, for fully vaccinated people, about 53%.
And we can thank the shirkers for that. I did want to make one other note about that Wolski lady you were talking about.
Yeah.
The one who went into the store with the eye mask. And Lynn Wood, the disgraced Trump lawyer, was on the phone with the hospital threatening to charge the receptionist, the switchboard operator, with murder for not releasing her to the ambulance he said was waiting outside the hospital. And, of course, the hospital would not release her, certainly not to these jokers.
No.
And they got a bomb threat. The hospital got either a bomb or a sniper threat because they wouldn't release this Wolski lady, who then very quickly died. So you have this, not just shirkers, but this radical element that's trying to crush health care, that's trying to crush public health. And that's got to stop.
You know, I think Kimberly and I were talking about this on the after party. Maybe it was last week or the week before. But have you ever heard of a citizen's arrest actually working? I mean, that just sounds like what Lynn Wood was trying to do with the operator. Yeah. Like,
I'm guessing there are some in history that have stuck, but I don't know of any. No,
it seems like something that you learned on like a Saturday morning cartoon, and you know, when you were 7 years old. And then it kind of stuck. Oh, I guess this is a thing. I guess we can actually do this. As citizens, we can go up and arrest just about anybody. And I've never once ever heard of that working, but it's now making a big comeback naturally among the people who are acting like children. So
I'm on Google. I've entered the question, can I make a citizen's arrest? And the first result that came up.
No, Karen.
I'm not the first to ask this question is what we reveal, because that is the number one answer, followed by, can I make a citizen's arrest on a police officer? Let's just start with the simple one.
Okay.
Can I make a citizen's arrest?
Yeah.
In Florida, they're addressing where I am, see, because Google knows everything about me. In Florida, there is no such thing as a citizen's detention. The law is well settled. Citizens lack the authority to detain and make an arrest for civil traffic infraction, and citizens cannot conduct a Terry-style stop or detain a suspect.
Naturally.
So, guess there is no thing.
So the answer really is...
No!
Yeah, you can't do it. Which is how also you should vote in California today. Thank you very much. All right. Well, that settles it. This is obviously something that is dumb, and we're seeing lots of dumb people trying to do it. I'm going to engage in a citizen's arrest because you want me to wear a mask. It's ludicrous.
It may be allowed in certain jurisdictions, or certainly not in Florida, but I'm also finding the search, what do you say when making a citizen's arrest?
Yeah.
You must inform the person what you are doing and why as soon as reasonably possible. You must also tell them what offense you believe they have committed. If you have to use force when arresting the person, you must only use reasonable force.
You know what? To me, it's a good way to get punched in the head.
Yeah. Oh, so, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
I'm engaged. Here's a citizen's arrest, and you're like Barney Fife without the gun, right? The gun or the badge or any sort of authority whatsoever. Yes, this is a citizen's arrest. Please don't hit me. Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. You're going to get punched. So don't even try it.
Right.
Meantime, goddamn, Howard Stern has been on a rampage, and I am totally right. with him on this.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Too, yes.
Well, there's more. He's continued his ongoing rant against the shirkers and anti-vaxxers. He said the other day, we have no time for idiots in this country anymore.
Right.
We don't want you. We want you all either go to the hospital and stay home, die there with your COVID. Don't take the cure, but don't clog up our hospitals with your COVID when you right. finally get it. Stay home. Don't bother with science. It's too late. Go fuck yourself. We just don't have time for you. Oh, right. man.
That's the sentiment. And yeah. you know, so many of us have that sentiment, and we're starting to see it take hold. We were, yeah. we're seeing Joe Biden essentially say, we're done messing around here.
And I feel that way exactly right now, where I am so immensely frustrated because, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. You do the right thing. You act like a grown-up. You isolate when you're supposed to isolate. You wear a mask when you're supposed to mask. You get a vaccine when you're supposed to get a vaccine, because this is a global health emergency. And so right. many people are like, screw it. It's just like the flu. I don't need to. Why even bother? I'm going to go to a. Yeah. No. You have to do the right thing, because the rest of us are being imprisoned by your irresponsibility. And that is not freedom.
Republican talk show hosts and Republican voters are dying at the hands of this misinformation, and their yeah. numbers, already small, are shrinking.
Yeah.
The rest of the country is fed up with this. This can't. I don't think this can go on much longer. I think this resistance, as you were indicating earlier, has to fizzle out at a certain point. The sooner the better. We're just all tired of waiting. It's time to put a stop to it today, right now.
Well, you know, I guess going back to another Civil War reference, this is now a matter of attrition. Where I guess if we just wait long enough of these people are going to get sick, and some of them are going to die. In the process of not doing the right thing, it fills me with rage and resentment at my fellow Americans. But yeah,
gotta crush it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, meantime, DC is preparing for Insurrection Version 2 coming up on Saturday. Right. Security measures are being discussed on the Hill. They've put the barricades back up, the post-insurrection barricades.
Fortunately, Congress won't be in session on that Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's particularly good news. I don't know what to expect from this other than the usual. It's called Justice for J6. That's the name of the rally. This is a rally in support of the... more than 570 people have been charged with crimes related to the insurrection. This is an amazing thing. These people are coming out to protest the arrest of people who invaded and occupied Congress violently.
And thereby support the invasion and occupation of Congress.
Yeah. I mean, this goes back to something, Buzz, that I think I've been saying for years now, which is that one of the things that the Trump years have illustrated is the fact that so many people in this country have lost the ability to tell right from wrong. And I'm not talking about necessarily, and I say necessarily underscored and italicized and all the rest of it, not necessarily having to do with, murder or sociopathy or anything like that. I'm talking about people who don't know the difference between you invade and occupy the Capitol and you go to jail. That's the way it ought to happen, versus you invade and occupy the Capitol and you're just set free. Oh, you were just there as a tourist. That's the inability to recognize what is right and what is wrong, what is legal, what is illegal, what is moral and what is amoral.
We can list a lot of boogeymen for why that happened, how that came to be. I think glorifying violence. Last week you were talking about glorifying conflicted, glorifying people who are not heroic, people who, glorifying bad people by humanizing them and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are now.
In fact, that was something else I talked about with Allison Gill on the Daily Bean podcast the other day, which is that very thing, which is that even The Mandalorian, which is like my favorite show to come along in years and years and years, maybe one of my top five greatest shows of all time. And even in that show, I was mentioning to Allison on her podcast the other day, it's like oh, yeah, let's take a look at the Empire's perspective. Let's sympathize with the Imperials and, oh, all of those terrorists who blew up the Death Star right. and killed all of those other Imperials. How sad for those Imperials.
And while that's true, yeah. I think at the root of that is a failure of education.
Yeah.
We pushed kids out of school. We graduated them from high school without ever having taught them government, citizenship, mm-hmm. civics, and history.
Yeah.
In a way that's relevant, that will be relevant to their adult lives. And that is a failure. We haven't taught critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If we had done these things, then all the violent media and all the humanized villains in fiction wouldn't have made any difference, because people would already know what was right and what was wrong.
Yeah. My concern now is, wow, damn it, we're making it really difficult for kids who are in school today to actually be able to absorb as much knowledge as they can through their, whether it's public school, private school education, because schools are war zones now. Right. If you don't go in to school and get a potentially deadly virus, you could be killed or wounded in a gun massacre.
Right.
Welcome to school. Welcome to grade school in the 21st century. Jesus.
Do we open the door to let in fresh air to fight COVID, or do we close the door to keep out the shooters? That's where your classrooms are right now.
Yeah. It's like living in Southern California. Either the mudslides or the wildfires are going to get you at some point.
Right.
So, we're going to talk about Donald Trump going after George W. Bush. This will finally convince the Bush family to completely abandon anything having to do with Donald Trump and the Trump-controlled Republican Party.
Or can the Bush name be redeemed? We'll include that, too.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. If it wasn't enough that Donald Trump completely pantsed and emasculated Jeb Bush during the 2016 election, there's this now. And so we're going to talk about that and a lot more right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska!
Tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother. Mother! Can you keep them in the dark for life? Can you hide them from the waiting row? Oh, mother!
Yeah, this is Abby Kay covering Danzig. Yep, song is called Mother. Oh, Danzig fans know this song, yeah. This is a live performance, live from the playroom, abbykrocks.com. Link in the description to support Abby Kay and all of our metal bands here, all of our indie metal bands here on the show. Okay, getting back into things on our big Tuesday show, Donald Trump went after George W. Bush because George W. Bush went after Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I wish W. would do this by naming Donald Trump one of these times.
Yes, everyone knows who he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I think George W. Bush was pretty explicit in terms of pointing a finger at the insurrectionists from January 6th. And now Donald Trump responded to it with one of his statements that he just puts out through his Save America PAC.
His big pretend president, pretend Oval Office.
His cynical cash grab, the Save America PAC, which is all about making as much money as possible for Donald Trump. You know, because he's a billionaire. Billionaires need these things, don't they, Buzz?
Why don't they just print Make Donald Rich Again on the caps? Wouldn't that be easier?
It's amazing. And then he did something for the Moonies in Korea.
Yes. Yes.
He did some El Cheapo video for them.
Who backed the insurrection, by the way.
Unfucking believable. This guy is supposed to be a billionaire. It's like Donald Trump Jr. doing Cameo. Look, it's one thing. It's one thing if you're, you know, someone who's making it in the entertainment industry and you just got to keep your appearances up and you're looking for ways to make some income for yourself. So, sure, do Cameo. That's fine. But
that's
for
why he's grand opening a car lot on Pearl Harbor Day. That's exactly. It's come to that. You know, he'll be doing bat mitzvahs next.
Yeah. I mean, is doing cameos, is that really, or doing Rumble videos? Guys, all of Junior's Rumble video. Is this something that billionaires do? Is this something people with lots and lots of family wealth actually do? No, I don't think so. Because you know what? They're not billionaires. They're on a Jenga puzzle of debt. That's what they're just wobbling back and forth. But here's what Trump said in response to George W. Bush. Notice that he never once condemns right-wing terrorism, domestic extremism. So interesting, he said, to watch former President Bush, who was responsible for getting us into the quicksand of the Middle East and then not winning, as he lectures us that terrorists on the quote-unquote right are a bigger problem than those from foreign countries that hate America and that are pouring into our country right now. If that is so, why was he willing to spend trillions of dollars and be responsible for the death of perhaps millions of people? He shouldn't be lecturing us about anything. The World Trade Center came down during his watch, which is a small nugget of truth in this awful.
Yeah. Well, there are nuggets of truth in both. They're both right about one thing. The other guy is horrible.
Yeah.
That much is true.
Right. Yeah. Bush led a failed and uninspiring presidency. He shouldn't be lecturing anybody.
Yeah. And Trump, meanwhile, has no right to lecture Bush about killing millions of people. Trump did that with the COVID pandemic. You know.
Yes.
So yeah, they're both right. They're both wrong. They're both bad. I appreciate what Bush said, but he's still the same Bush to me, the guy who allowed torture and lied about the WMDs and everything else and didn't respond to warnings that Al-Qaeda was about to attack the U.S. So no. I really don't want to hear anything from either one of them. I'm sort of appreciative of what Bush said, but he's still the same guy.
Yeah, of course he is. Of course he is. And he's the same guy illustrated in the fact that he can't condemn Donald Trump by name. And look, I'm just putting this in perspective here. I mean, I wish he would go all the way. Mr. Tough Talking Crawford Ranch, George W. Bush needs to call out Donald Trump by name. And, you know,
you left that oil painting.
Exactly right. You're exactly right when you correctly noted that Donald Trump is responsible for many, many more American deaths than George W. Bush ever was responsible for.
Neither one of them has the high ground.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Bush, for saying what you said. Now please go sit down again.
Unless you're willing to stand up and throw down. But I think any voice against Trumpism is a help.
What I appreciate. Yeah. But it was just so much praise for Bush after he said that. And I'm with those who say, no, let's remember the torture. Let's remember the lies.
Yeah.
Let's remember the war and the cost of all of that. Let's not forget who George W. Bush really was.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to add as sort of a postscript on the ongoing 9/11 remembrances of the 20th anniversary is that the Republican Party, and specifically George W. Bush, while the actions in the immediate aftermath of 9/11 were positive. I think the American people unified naturally. I think it had very little to do with political leadership. But nevertheless, the fact is that the Republican Party took that horrible event that we all spent many hours remembering last week. They took that terrible event and they tried to brand it. They tried to make it their own. Not from an accountability point of view, but from a rah-rah Lee Greenwood patriotic anthem point of view. We're going to brand American patriotism in the wake of one of the most horrifying tragedies in American history.
The American people said, let's go get whoever's responsible.
Yeah.
And Washington, D.C. said, it's the brown people.
Yeah.
The policy is insane.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And George W. Bush still carries a lot of weight on the Republican side. And sure. What we need is the leaders, for lack of a better term, the influencers in our leadership here in this country. The more of them who step up and say, this is unacceptable, this is wrong, that further marginalizes the red hats and all the bozos that cling on to Trumpism as a real thing, as a legitimate thing. And here's a great example of the Trumpism that continues to manifest itself. We may see a bunch of it on Saturday, but in advance of that, Capitol Police have arrested a man armed with multiple knives, a bayonet, for God's sake, and a machete near the Democratic National Headquarters in Washington, D.C. This guy, Donald Craighead, told Capitol Police he was on patrol, and because I guess he's a Capitol Police officer, and the suspect began to talk about white supremacist ideology and other rhetoric pertaining to white supremacy. His pickup truck also had a swastika and other white supremacist symbols on it, because, of course, clearly he's a liberal. I love it when this shit goes down and the Republicans go, oh, yeah, he's a liberal because,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, Black Lives Matter. Yeah, he's part of that group. Yeah, Antifa. Yeah, yeah. He's all of those.
They'll find something from like 5 years ago where he's like, marijuana should be legal. Oh, look, he's a liberal.
Right.
No, I think the swastika indicates otherwise. The swastika on the side of his car. I mean, he's labeling himself and telling us, hey, look at me. I'm a white supremacist Nazi.
He had taped the backside of a quarter to his car with like Scotch tape. And so it had the eagle. It was and then he drew the swastika legs around it so that it was, you know, the swastika with the eagle in it. He was all into that stuff. Yeah.
I don't understand the quarter though. Why? Why?
Because there's a spread eagle on the back.
Yeah, I know. But yeah,
right. And well, the Nazi
he not,
symbol.
Does he not have the internet to print out like an actual drawing or a portrait of an eagle?
He liked the one on the quarter, I guess. You know? It saved. He can't draw an eagle, Bob. He needed the eagle supplied for him.
So the only place he could find an eagle is on the back of a quarter. That's so fucking weird. Oh, my God.
That and some pieces of lint in his pocket.
Yeah, and you know what else is weird? I want to bring this up on the free show. I don't think we talked about it on the free show last week, but somehow this show got labeled as being hyper-partisan left on this.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up.
This Ad Fontes media reliability and credibility chart that we appeared on. And clearly, whoever included us in the hyper-partisan left category has never actually listened to the show, because I think my DMs and Twitter mentions would disagree with that particular categorization. I don't think we're anywhere close to being hyper-partisan left, but okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
I tweeted to you or texted to you afterward that even if that were, you know, what we are considered today, there was a time where we would barely be left of center in reality.
Yeah.
If being pro-democracy is hyper-partisan, it's not. It's hyper-democracy. Mm-hmm. This show, I'd like to think, and I believe, and from what I've heard, in my objective opinion, this show is a hyper-democracy, but is not hyper-partisan. I've said many times on this show, and I know I'm one of multiple co-hosts here, but I've said many times that I'm a Democrat by default. I'm a Democrat because I don't want to be one of them, the Republicans. Yeah. That's why I'm here, because we need a unified force to crush them, because you see what they're doing to democracy. So for me, it's through my final years of covering news during Trump's presidency, it wasn't about politics. Yeah. It was about democracy, because I could see what was happening. I don't know anything about Ad Fontes Media and how reliable or how right or left are they.
Yeah.
But you go back 30 years, if we could take this show 30 years back in time, we would be considered just left of center.
Yeah, exactly.
But we in this ranking that they did, even though they accused us of all kind of ugly things, including unfair persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think you'd be accused of unfair persuasion?
Oh, yes, all the time. I'm so unfair.
We share that label with Joy Reid, Occupy Democrats, and the Palmer Report.
Mm-hmm.
We also placed on the chart as hyper-partisan left, as you pointed out.
Yep.
A space we share with Rachel, Midas Touch, Daily Cause, Joy Reid, Occupy Democrats, and Palmer Report. So, I don't see us that far left. I left maybe some, sure, certainly a little left of center. But we're just fighting for democracy and public health here.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I today we probably have a lot more listeners than a typical Tuesday show, only because we've got a lot of incoming listeners right now from the Mueller, She Wrote shows and the satellite shows. Oh,
welcome. And we're sorry.
Yeah. Well, just to be perfectly clear in terms of my politics, I don't have some sort of blanket ideology. I am far left on a bunch of issues. And you know what? I'm moderate on a bunch of issues. Mm-hmm. There may even be one or two that I'm sort of a little bit center right. And I'd be hard pressed to find those. But I know there are occasions when maybe when it comes to issues of national security and so on, maybe I lean into that direction. But the fact is that if I come across as pro-Democratic Party, much like you, Buzz, it's only by default. It's only because the Democratic Party, my allegiance is to nobody. My allegiance is to the truth. And in terms of the Democratic Party, they're the only game in town. They are the last grown-ups in the room. They are the last political party, in the major political party in this country, that is linked to facts and reality, truth, science, math,
right now,
history.
It used to be two parties. Right now, it's the Democratic Party and Idiocracy and Theocracy and Autocracy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an American political party anymore.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think people should know, although you don't have a blanket ideology, you must confess you do have an ideology blanket. It's very, keeps you warm in the winter.
That's right. I throw it over my shoulders and I immediately get outraged. You should see me go. But it's true. I really don't have an allegiance to the Democratic Party other than the fact that the Democratic Party is the last thing standing between us and fascist idiocracy in this country.
Exactly. That's it. Exactly.
Right. And so either you're voting for the Democrats or you're supporting the rise of this Trumpism fascist idiocracy that is going to definitely lead. I mean, people taking Betadine and horse paste, for God's sake, because they're so concerned about Joe Biden's vaccines, not remembering Operation Warp Speed. They're so concerned about Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan, not even remembering the fact that it was Donald Trump's fucking deadline in the first place. So, this is the madness that we're facing here. And the Democratic Party is, you weaken the Democratic Party and it empowers this crazy group of shirkers and weirdos.
And we're getting pounded a little bit by this leftist Democrats label.
Mm.
When we should be painting them as radical autocrats.
Yeah.
We need to, the radical Republican Party. If they're going to refer to the leftist Democratic Party, we need to refer to the radical Republican Party. I'm tired of taking this laying down.
Yeah,
it's time to rise up in thought and deed and word.
And thank God it appears at this point, and don't get happy, but it appears at this point that the normals are winning out in California. And this gives me great joy and happiness to know that maybe normal people out there are going to rise up. They agree with us and they want this Trumpism nonsense to end. And of course, Trumpism in California is manifested in the form of Larry Elder. So remember, vote
no! No!
Yes, today. And then break something. First you vote
no!
And then
you
gotta smash. Smash. There you go. Okay. Get it all out. Work out your anger on an inanimate object. Okay. Coming up next on our Patreon page, that is patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. It is formerly known as the Postmortem Show, now known as the Shadow Docket. Yeah. This is all you're doing, Buzz Burbank. This is your baby.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts and minds of men? The Shadow Docket knows.
Perfect, 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 perfect. Okay, so coming up on the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page, you sign up for $5 a month. If you support this show on our Patreon page for just $5 a month, you get two of these Shadow Docket programs every week, one on Tuesday after these after this music stops playing, and then one on Thursday after that, after those end credits stop playing. And we just keep on talking. We used to call it the Postmortem Show. Now it's the Shadow Docket. Yeah, we're going to be talking about, Andrew Yang in the news. Oh, and we have more sad news from one of our favorite people in the world.
Oh,
and
no.
By favorite people, I mean least favorite people. Yeah. There was a thing that happened, and more things keep happening to this person. I'm really teasing it now.
You are.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
Yes. This is going to be fun to talk about. And also, you know what? We didn't get to Joe Biden and the filibuster and Joe Manchin and all this nonsense. So maybe we'll talk about that a little bit, too.
I must have $5 around here somewhere.
Put your money on the table, sir. $5 a month will get you all the bonus content. Plus, not all the bonus content, but certainly the Shadow Docket Show. And it's also going to get you access to the comments. You can comment on all of the programs and join our community of listeners on our Patreon page. It's awesome. Everyone is awesome. And thank you, everyone. Take care, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.